Good morning. Mentioned in class this morning, there's a lot of difference between this morning and last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, it felt like spring. Everything was just, it's feeling good. This morning, not so much. It's cold, it's wet, and it is a blessing to be here inside this nice warm building this morning, worshiping the Lord, singing songs of praise. Appreciate the song that Cameron just led. We are the world's Bible. And it is up to us to live in such a way that men may see the will of God. A lot of people will not take the time to notice God's Word and to look at it and read it for themselves. But if they see it in us and they see the joy that we have, the hope that we have, and the goodness that is exhibited in our lives, then hopefully that will be something that will lead them to Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We've been discussing some things that are necessary for us to grow spiritually. And one of those things, as far as growth is concerned, is the need to bear fruit. Of course, if we grow, we will bear fruit. But it is not only an evidence of our growth, it is also part of our growth. Because as we bear fruit, guess what? We are strengthened ourselves and we are able to bear more fruit. And so it in and of itself is a process of growing. This morning we're going to be looking in Romans chapter 6 in the beginning of our study. And so go ahead and open your Bibles there. Romans chapter 6 and verses 20 through 23. We have been going through a series of lessons emphasizing the need to grow. We've talked about what becoming a Christian is all about. It's not about doing what we want to do, for sure. It's not about a life of ease and luxury. It is about doing the work. It is about suffering even for Christ. It's about sacrificing our own joys or pleasures, if you will, for selfish motivation and reasons, to giving ourselves to Christ in His service. That's what being a Christian is all about. What do we have in Christ? The effect, if you will, of being a Christian is multifaceted from a positive perspective. We have the forgiveness of our sins, the hope of everlasting life, the joy that we have in Christ, the peace that we have. And all of those things, we discuss those. Increasing in the knowledge of God is also necessary for our growth. We must learn God's will. That takes effort and that takes time. And it's amazing to me how people think that they know the will of God these days when they don't read the Bible themselves, because they just, we talked about this a little bit in class. People are taught to expect the Holy Spirit is just going to infuse this knowledge directly into their mind, in their hearts. It doesn't work like that. We have to study God's Word. We have to come to understand it from our reading it and meditating upon it. Then we are able to stand against the evil forces, and we also emphasized last week the need to give all diligence to grow. Now, if we give all diligence to grow, the Apostle Peter said, and we looked at this last Sunday morning, if we do these things, he says, we will never stumble, number one. But what else does he say we'll do? We will bear much fruit. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Fruit that honors God. That was Paul's prayer for the Philippians that was read in our hearing a little bit ago by Brother Zini. We've emphasized that spiritual growth is a divine requirement. We do never stay the same. We are always moving in one direction or the other. We're either drawing closer to God or we're drawing further from Him. We're never staying the same. And it is absolutely essential that we do those things necessary to grow. But with growth comes results. We bear good fruit as we grow spiritually. A lack of good fruit in our life is an indicator that we are not growing spiritually. It is an indication that we are weak. In fact, it is an indication that we are actually detached from the vine. And that's a scary thought. It also means that we are becoming, if not already, spiritually dead. So the need to bear fruit. I think we all understand this. We know that we need to bear fruit. But are we? Now, listen, we are bearing fruit one way or the other. In Romans the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 20, The Apostle Paul says this, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed?" What was the fruit of your sinful life? Well, it was sin, wasn't it? It was sinful behavior, sinful activity. It was produced by the sinful thoughts and desires of your heart. What then, what fruit did you bear? Well, it was sinful things. It was bad fruit. For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. So here's the contrast. You bear fruit, the fruit of sin leads to death. The fruit of righteousness leads to life. Which fruit are you bearing in your life? You're bearing something. Someone who says that I am on my way to heaven and God saved me, He loved me so much that He washed me of my sins, He saved me through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He doesn't see my sin anymore, and then that person just continued living a life of sin. He continues to walk down the road of sin, and he thinks that he's still going to heaven? That's not what the Bible says. The fruit, listen, what we sow, we shall also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption, death. If we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What fruit are you producing in your life? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What are you producing in your life? In the book of John, the 15th chapter, Jesus... Now, this, remember, is the last evening of his life. They have already observed the Passover, and Jesus has already instituted the Lord's Supper. He's already washed their feet, and he's emphasizing the Holy Spirit that will come and guide them into all truth. And he's in the process of explaining that to them, and he'll talk a little bit more about that later in chapter 15 and 16, but it appears now that he has gone out of that upper room with his disciples. And they are moving through the city of Jerusalem and out of the outward gates of Jerusalem and out towards the Garden of Gethsemane. And perhaps they come to this vineyard. And so Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Listen, there's a very important point that I want to make before we move away from these first five verses of John 15. I can do nothing of myself. And what I do, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, I do through Christ who lives in me. Jesus Christ is the one who is flowing through me in my effort. Why? Because I'm listening to him, I'm following him, I'm abiding in his words, and his words are abiding in me, and I am doing his will. I am his eyes, I am his feet, I am his mouth. I am going and doing the things that he would have me to do in my life. And thus, I am going to bear fruit in my life because he abides in me. This relationship is such that it guides me in my everyday life. Now, if I do not have Christ in me, I can bear no good fruit. Everything that I do is absolutely worthless. I must have Christ. And if I abide in Christ, then He abides in me, and I bear fruit. My fruit is the direct result of me following Jesus Christ. He says then in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Now that's what's going to happen if I don't bear fruit. I'm going to be cut off. I'm going to be cast out and I'm going to be burned. People say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. That's not what Jesus believed. That's not what Jesus taught. If you do not bear fruit, you will be cut off. Now, you cannot be cut off from that which you were never a part of. But this is talking about those who do not bear fruit. They will be cut off and cast into the fire. If you abide in me, that's conditional. If you abide in me, if you stay in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We were talking about prayer in our Bible study this morning as we began studying that very important topic. We emphasize this, you know, if you ask what you desire, it will be given to you. What does that mean? Well, it first must be in harmony with God's will. And if God's Word is in us, if the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, if we are abiding in Him, then we're going to be asking for those things that He would have us to ask for, and we're going to be seeking to do those things that He would have us to do. We want those things which are in accordance with His will. And so those are the kind of things we'll be asking for. And God is there to help us and support us in accomplishing His work for us in our life. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Listen, I'm not glorifying myself by doing what He tells me to do. There's this fellow that I've been talking with quite a bit. You know what he keeps emphasizing? Well, if you have to be baptized in order to be saved, he said, then you're glorifying yourself. A lot of people say that. Had a lady call on the radio program last week who made the same point. Not this week, but last week. And she argued that, you know, if you are baptized, then you're doing it yourself. That's your work, and that glorifies you. That's your righteousness. Listen. Oh, you're trusting in yourself is what they'll say. No, I'm not. I'm trusting in the one who told me to do it. I'm trusting the one who promised that if I do what he says, then he will give me this. He'll save me. I'm submitting to him. Listen, when I do what God says, I glorify him. Do you know what you're doing when you do not obey God? You're not glorifying him, are you? How do you glorify God? You do what he says. And if you don't do what he says, then you're not glorifying him at all. We bear fruit, we glorify God. So you will be my disciples. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, a learner, then you have to bear fruit. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That means that you can walk away from his love. Now there's nothing outside of ourselves that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 30 through 39. I understand that. But I can walk away from it. I can detach myself from that vine. I can leave and I can be cut off and I can wither and I can die and I can be thrown into the fire and I can be destroyed. Jesus says, though, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's the supreme example. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be fulfilled. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Here's a key command, that we love. Love one another. In Luke the 6th chapter in verse 43, Jesus said this, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, that is a true statement. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, or poisonous fruit is the idea. That which is destructive. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree does not bear good fruit. A poisonous tree is not going to bear some fruit that is going to be good for you. It all depends on what's in your heart. For every tree is known by its fruit. If you're sinning in your life, if you're living a sinful life, what's in your heart? What kind of tree are you? If you're bearing sinful fruit, what kind of tree are you? If you're doing the things of God, what kind of tree are you? Men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. You show me a potty mouth person, and I'll show you somebody whose heart is filled with filth. People say, well, are you going to tell me that if you're driving down the road and you have a wreck and that you're not going to say a cuss word? I don't know, but you know what? I kind of doubt it. It's not in my vocabulary. It's not in my heart. If it's not in my heart, it's not going to come out of my mouth. Now, that doesn't mean that I may not slip every once in a while and say something that sounds like, or, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. The point is, what's in your heart is what will come out of your mouth. And a potty mouth person does not have a clean heart. Say what you will. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul is arguing against the law and the Judaizing teachers in the book of Galatians. And one of the objections that the Judaizing teachers had to the gospel was that, well, if you don't have the law of Moses, then how are you going to live a godly, holy life? Because there's no law, was their thinking. Of course, there's law. It's Christ's law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 and verse 2. It is law, but it works in a different way. The new covenant is written in our hearts, right? It's not a system of rules that we are to keep by law and a system of law. It is something that is written first and foremost in our hearts. This is Paul's argument in this text. The law produced actually the works of the flesh. Not that the law itself taught these things, commanded these things, but that the law taught against them and that man sinned against them, and therefore a man who began to sin and did not keep the law produced all kinds of sinful behaviors and activities. Romans 7 verses 4 through 6. And thus sin became the dominant part of his life. But the gospel frees him from that sin, and it, when it's taken into the heart, listen, an attitude that is filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, how many sins is that person going to be committing every day? What kind of life is he going to be living? What is going to be manifested in his daily behavior that others will see? That's the point. The gospel does not allow people to continue in sin. Actually, it nips sin in the bud by changing a person's heart. Now, our fruit is dependent upon our heart. If our heart is right, our actions will be right. Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, regarding the scribes and the Pharisees, said that they were hypocrites. He said that they cleanse the outside of the cup or the bowl, but the inside is filthy. But he says if you clean the inside of the bowl, both the inside and the outside will be clean. The scribes and the Pharisees were focused on outward manifestations rather than the nature of the heart. If we change the heart, what happens to the outward manifestations? What about the fruit? The word fruit itself, W.E. Vines says it's used, of course, of fruit of the trees, the fields, the earth, and metaphorically, of works or deeds. Fruit being the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly, the character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. Matthew 7:16. As the visible expressions of hidden lust are the works of the flesh, so the invisible power of the Holy Spirit in those who are brought into living union with Christ. John 15:2-8. Produces the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The singular form suggesting the unity of the character of the Lord as reproduced in them, namely love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all in contrast with the confused and often mutually antagonistic works of the flesh. The point is, the fruit of the Spirit replaces the lust of the flesh and drives those things out of our heart. In the natural world, fruit is the result of a healthy plant producing what it was designed to produce. Metaphorically, fruit describes the character and resulting actions produced by the controlling influences of the heart. The gospel being that controlling influence. The Lord Himself being that controlling influence. In order for me to bear good fruit that brings honor to God, first and foremost, I have to die with Christ. And in that act, I also die to my sin. And I am raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 1 through 23. You know, Paul says in Romans 6, verse 1, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. And then he talked about how we were baptized into Christ. We were baptized into his death, right? And we were united with Christ. We were then raised to walk in newness of life. And then he says that we are slaves, not to sin, not anymore. Now we are slaves to righteousness. We are bound to live a righteous life. And we are enabled to live that righteous life through Christ. And he goes on and he emphasizes that when we obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to us, we are made free from sin, from its bondage. And as he says then in chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For if we walk after the Spirit, after the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we will have life. We do not have condemnation. So we must die with Christ. We must be united with Christ. We must have Christ as our head, as the one who is guiding us through His Spirit, and abiding in Christ by abiding in the teachings of Christ. We must stay in His teachings. We must continue in His Word. If we don't, we cannot bear good fruit. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 17, the Apostle Paul there emphasizes the things that we have in Christ. He first tells us how we are to put away the lust of the flesh, or the things of the flesh, the things that are sinful. We put those things out of our life. We die to them. And what we do then is we put on Christ Jesus. When we put on Christ, this is what we do. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And the peace of God will rule in your hearts. So you put on Christ, abiding in His teachings, becoming like Him. The actual result of repentance. Well, repentance is more than just a cessation of sinful behavior. Listen, repentance means a change of mind or heart. It is a turning away from my sinful thoughts and actions and turning in my heart to Jesus Christ and giving Him reign over my life. I now serve Him. I am committed to Him. Repenting is a change of mind. I now allow God to control my thoughts, to govern my thoughts, to govern my deeds. And thus that brings me into true union with Christ Jesus when I obey Him. And thus I am transformed. My heart is transformed. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's fruit, isn't it? I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, and in the process I'm going to be bearing fruit. I am holy, I'm acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service. That's what I was made for, Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells me. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The word prove, you've heard me say this several times. The word prove means to demonstrate or to make known. It means that when I am truly renewed in my mind of the things of God, then I am going to demonstrate in my life that which is good and acceptable in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Others will see that. And I'm demonstrating, manifesting in my life the power of God. And it all begins by me presenting myself to God as His slave, as His servant. And I am yielding to Him. And I am resisting the world. I am not allowing the world to conform me into its image, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I come into compliance with God's will. I follow Him, and as a result, I bear good fruit. I prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But it all begins with me fully giving myself to the Lord. I can't be half-hearted in this. I can't give Him just my Sundays and sometimes Wednesdays. I can't just give Him a little portion of my life. I've got to give the Lord all of my life. If I'm going to bear fruit for Him, I must give myself to Him as a living sacrifice. I must give myself to Him, resist the pressures of the world, and to make known His will in my life. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit that we looked at a while ago, I want to talk just a little bit about this fruit and the manifestation or the effect of this fruit in our life. Paul says, before he gets to verse 22, of course, beginning back in verse 16, he says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, there is a battle that goes on. In this context, the battle is primarily between the law and the system of law. I'm talking about the context of Romans. And the system of grace, the system of the gospel, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the gospel. And that's the primary battle, but then that comes down to a personal battle with us. And there must be a battle that is won. He says, if we walk in the Spirit, this is a choice that we have. If we walk in the Spirit, He says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If the Spirit is governing our life, we will not do those things that Satan wants us to do. We won't. And listen, if we're walking in the flesh, we're not going to be able to do the things of the Spirit. And there's the battle. But then he gets down and he talks about the works of the flesh. And of course, all of those things are contrary to love itself. They're contrary to God's will in our life. And so the fruit of the Spirit then is mentioned in contrast with the works of the flesh. Love is the first one. The love that we have for God and the love that we have for men will produce things that are good and right in the sight of both God and men. If I truly love God, what will I do? I'll do what He says. If I truly love God, I want to know what He says. And I want to do what He says. I want to worship Him. I want to serve Him. If I truly love Him, I value Him above everything else. I value Him more than anything in this world. And you know what? If I love God, I'm also then going to love man because God tells me to. The great commandment of Mark 12, 29, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anyone who has a need that you have an opportunity to help and the ability to help. Who is your neighbor? Well, love does what is needed, what is desired by them, that is necessary, that is good for them. I should clarify that. Joy. Joy is this delight, rejoicing in the things of God. And it's produced by doing the things of God. This is not based on external circumstances. My joy is based on The fact that I am at peace with God. And I have the hope that God promises me. Regardless then of my circumstances, I'm going to be joyful. So joy is a product. The world can't know this. They don't have this. They can't have it. But if we're in Christ, we can. Regardless of our circumstances. And the peace then that fills our hearts is, you know, Paul emphasizes this peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it to you. I can just say to you that this, despite, again, our circumstances, we are at ease in Christ. And with the hope that God gives us, we are at peace regardless of what happens. This peace, this contentment, due to a right relationship with God. Then the Apostle Paul says another fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Now notice, again, I didn't emphasize this to begin with, but here we're seeing four different things, okay? Five with kindness. You go on six with goodness, and you're going to have three more. All of these things, Paul says, is the singular fruit, singular, of the Spirit, singular. If the Spirit is in your life, you're not just going to produce one of these things. If the Holy Spirit is the guiding influence in your life, if you're walking according to the law of the Spirit, Romans 8:2, you're not just going to have love and nothing else. All of these things are going to be manifested in your life because it's the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit produces in everyone who follows Him. Everyone. No exceptions to this. If you're a child of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, abiding in Christ's Word, you have these things. Long-suffering, you're forbearing. You suffer long with people's failures and their faults. Thankfully, we are long-suffering people. You put up with me. You allow that. That's great. I'm so thankful you are long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, the sweet reasonableness and approachable disposition. You're not caustic. You're kind to people. You do good for them. And goodness. A heart that is good will do good. You are benevolent. You do good things for people. Faithfulness. Dependable. If you trust in God, you are a person that God can trust. You are faithful. If your car only started once a week, how faithful would that car be? You're faithful, God can count on you. And others can count on you. You're faithful and dependable. Gentleness. Meekness. It's the willingness to suffer wrong and do right anyway. It's the ability to stay strong, even under pressure, and to do right anyway. You are self-controlled, which is the next point. You bring all your thoughts and your actions into the control of God in harmony with His will. You follow Him. You are in control of your mind, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. You are sober-minded. You gird up the loins of your mind. And you do what's right. And let's go back. Listen. Gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and kindness and long-suffering and peace and joy and even love are all the products of our choice. We choose and we determine and we do these things. By our own will. And we do it when we comply with God's will. We submit to His will in our lives. And thus the fruit of the Spirit is going to be born in our life. And it's going to be manifested in our life. It is going to be seen by others. These characteristics combine to describe the character and attitude of the one in Christ. And then again, let me ask you. If this is really your heart, If these characteristics really abide in your heart, what kind of life are you going to be living? How many sins a day are you going to be committing? What about adultery or fornication? What about that? You're not going to be doing those things. What about stealing? You're not going to be caught going into the grocery store down here, the Shell station, and robbing it, are you? It's not going to happen. You're not going to be cursing out people who do you wrong. These things will not be seen in you. Bearing fruit that honors God depends upon these characteristics being our fruit. In James, the third chapter, beginning in verse 13, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So you have, again, two things contrasted. In Galatians chapter 5, it's the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Here in James, it's talking about the wisdom that is from earth, that is sensual, that is demonic, contrasted with, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above. It is first pure, it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know what? If we are governed by worldly wisdom, not only will we be doctrinally, theologically wrong, we're also going to be just bearing wickedness in our life. Bitterness and envy and self-seeking. We're going to be governed by, like the world, we live in a time of anger. Don't we? Everybody seems to be mad. And everybody else. Turn on the news. You'll see what I'm talking about. Everybody's angry. This side is angry at that side. That side's angry at this side. Everybody's angry. Races are angry with one another. Why? Where does this come from? It doesn't come from God. With God, with the wisdom that is from above, it's pure. It's not hypocritical. It's pure. It's sincere. It's genuine. It's real. And it's peaceable. It brings people together. It doesn't drive them apart. It doesn't separate them out based upon their gender or their race or anything else that is fleshly separating people, you know, that are differences. The wisdom of God brings people together. It doesn't separate us. It doesn't divide us. Gentle. Yes, it's gentle in that it's doing that which is good and helpful. It's willing to yield. In other words, I don't push my opinion. You shouldn't push your opinion. The will of God is all that matters. And all I want to do is what He wants me to do. It's all that matters. Full of mercy. Listen, I don't render judgments against people. I'm not quick to condemn. I am merciful. Good fruits without partiality. You're not going to be my friend because you got a lot of money or because you don't have any. I'm not basing any of my determinations upon what you have or who you are. I'm not partial. We ought to love everybody. We ought to do good for everybody. So the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We see the difference. Now quickly, just to make some quick applications. If the Word of God is abiding in my heart, Luke 8 and verse 11, the parable of the sower, the Word is sown into a person's heart. Now, there are different responses to that Word. There are some who they don't pay any heed to it at all, like that ground, that soil that doesn't receive the Word and Satan comes and removes it quickly before he believes. But then you have those who are just a thin base of soil on top of a rock and the seed is not able to penetrate. And when persecution arises, it withers and dies. Then you have the seed that is sown in the heart that's full of thorns and weeds. And the word is choked and it does not become fruitful. But then you have the good heart. And that good heart then bears fruit. Now it's different amounts of fruit. But a heart that bears fruit is the heart that receives the word, trusts in the Lord, and follows Him. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be present. Obedience, following God's words, following the teachings of Jesus Christ is going to be present in our life. John 15, 7 through 11. Wisdom is going to be manifested in our life. We're going to listen to God and we're going to apply His principles to our relationships and to our life. Righteousness, we're going to do what's right. We're going to do what's right because it's right, not because of who's watching me. My lips, instead of profanity and filth, I'm going to be praising God. I'm going to be teaching God's word. I'm going to be using my mouth to edify and to build up instead of tearing down. If the fruit that's coming from God's word is born in my life, then it's also then going to be reproduced in others who hear. And evangelism will be a part of my life. I'll be talking to others about Jesus Christ. All these things will be a part of me. I will be bearing fruit that honors God. When it comes, for example, to our family, what if a husband and wife bore fruit that honored God in their life? What if they had the Word of God in their hearts? How are they going to treat each other? They're going to love each other. The husband is going to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He's going to value her. He's going to cherish her. He's not going to do anything that would hurt her. If a wife loves her husband, she's going to honor him. She's going to submit to him. She's going to do those things that are best for him and helpful for him. If parents love their children, they're going to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yes, they will discipline them. They will teach them and they will punish them when they do that which is wrong. And children, if they have God guiding their lives and their hearts, they're going to obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right. You see, there's one example. When it comes to neighbors, for example, we love them, we'll do good for them. If we see something going on in their life that they need our help, we'll be there, we'll stand up for them, we'll defend them. If necessary, we will protect them, we will help them, we will serve them, we'll do good for them. We will teach them, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it comes to our relationship as members of the body of Christ, we will love one another. We will cherish one another. We will want to be with one another. We will serve one another, helping one another. We will hold up one another, bearing one another in love. We will be doing the things that will bring about the growth of the body through speaking the truth in love and providing what each member can provide. We provide the growth of the body as God would have it to grow. In our teaching, we all need to be teachers when we are capable of teaching. Leading in worship and praying and singing and preaching and serving and doing what we can. Men need to be active in their roles and doing what they can do so that they can grow and develop their abilities to worship God in public. Women need to do what they can to nurture and to bring this about, to be in submission, but also, of course, to be active in helping others and providing those things that are needed in the body. Deacons. Where will our next deacons come from? Where will our next elders come from? If members are not growing, there will not be more deacons. If members are not bearing fruit, if Christians are not bearing fruit in the body, there will be no more elders. We must take our service to Christ seriously. We must realize that we will reap what we sow. So, therefore, we had better sow the things that will bring everlasting fruit to God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. My friend, if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's good fruit, right? If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap what? That's not good fruit. What kind of fruit are you preparing to reap? That depends on what you're sowing. Proverbs says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You got to guard your heart, protect your heart, keep your heart, govern your heart. We never stay the same. We're either growing spiritually or we're not, and we're going down, we're going back into the world, and we will be overcome and destroyed if we're not very careful. We have to be growing and moving forward. If we are growing spiritually, we will produce fruit. And the more fruit we will produce later. But that again is up to us. We are bearing fruit. It depends on which fruit we want to bear. What are we doing? My friend, what are you doing? What does your fruit reveal about you? Okay, regardless of what's to come, I'm talking about right now. If your life was examined, and you examined it, what would you see? Is sin in your life? If sin is in your life, what does that say about your heart? My friend, you need to do some repenting. If you're bearing fruit, accept the pruning, the discipline of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, the training of the Lord, that you may bear more fruit. What does your life reveal? If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized into Christ and start that walk of life and service to Christ, we implore you, come forward. Make that known, and we'll help you to obey the gospel this morning. If you need to turn back to the Lord, repent of your sins and the life that you are currently living, you need to make that right with God today. Let us help you. In Jesus' name, we ask you to come and to submit to Him while we stand and while we sing.